What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Central Virginia Sport Performance Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jay DeMayo, and today, guys, I'm really excited. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about connecting the physical aspects of all of our work, right? The training, the field work, the conditioning, and how we can relate that and bring that back to the technical, tactical side of our games with Federico Pizzuto. Federico, man, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Like, it's a pleasure being here, like, and talking with you and spending some time talking about the things that we love the most.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, before we get too far into this, let's let everybody know, you know, who is Federico and how'd you get to where you're at today, man?
I'm Italian, obviously, from with my name, and I born and raised in Italy, south of Italy. And in Italy, we know, like, you know, like, the main sport is soccer. So I was raised playing soccer with my friends on the street professionally. And then as soon as I stopped playing soccer, I decided, like, that I wanted to keep working in soccer. So I had my experience in soccer, like, moved for 6 years from Italy to Portugal, where I work with a professional team, like, that it's the Porto Football Club. And but I always have had the dream of, like, living and working in the US. And that's why in 2018, when I had the chance to come here to the US, I took it. And so I came in 2018 here in Columbus, Ohio, to work with the Columbus Crew MLS team, soccer team. And I've been here for 6 years now. I evolved, like, I came as a fitness and hand stage rehab coach. And then I did move to director of fitness and hand stage rehab. And now for the first year, it's my first year as a director of performance here at the club. And that's it. That's, like, my life revolved, like, my life turned. Is going around soccer. I had a brief experience in Portugal working with middle and long distance runners, and that's all based on, like, what I love, that it's the like enhance the physical capacity and the fitness and all the aspects of the physiological aspects of, like, fitness, like, for athletes and soccer players in this case.
It's pretty awesome, man. And I think that, you know, there's a couple spots in there when you were at Columbus before you became the performance director that I think are pretty interesting and kind of tie in to some of the direction that we want to go into. But being the rehab and fitness coordinator, a lot of that just comes back to tying in the technical tactical side and really the skill and the technical tactical side along with the fitness aspect. So let's run down that rabbit hole a little bit. A, how did you get into that? And then B, how have you built kind of your model that you utilize with the crew?
It's interesting because I was lucky when I moved to Portugal. I was lucky to work with the Porto Football Club. That is a club that has a lot of history in Europe and had always a strong philosophy. They went through a period where, like, their philosophy was based on just the field work, and especially for the academy and for the kids, there was no moments where, like, based on their philosophy, where, like, they were allowed, like, to be in the gym or develop their strength. And I was lucky to be there at the period where, like, they realized that this wasn't a great way to develop to physically develop players. So I was brought in Portugal to the Porto Football Club to help him to bridge this gap and see, okay, we want to work the physical side and the fitness side, and especially when we have injured guys, we know we need to increase their strength level and their movement efficiency, movement quality. So how can we do it in a separate environment that can be the gym or it can be, like, also the field part, but always having this connection with the tactical and the technical side? that's like was my challenge there. I was still young, still learning, but that's what I had to do. So like, how can we think about developing the strength, develop all our work in the gym, or even on field, like power work, movement mechanics and movement efficiency work on field with the connection with the specificity of the sport, with the connection of like the tactical and the technical aspects. So that's where the main challenge, I had to work a lot around it, find way, be creative. How can we develop like speed or resistance or other aspects of fitness on field? And I had 3-4 years doing this in Portugal. And then that was the reason why also I was selected to come here in the US. They wanted to go from a more analytical way of work and doing strength in the gym and with the exercise that sometimes were not related to the specific movements that you find on field. And they wanted to go more on a direction where like there is more functionality and specificity based on what we do on field. And that's why they hired me. And like, and also like to connect, like to, if we talk mainly about the return to play phase, the hand stage rehab phase, when I first came here, it was like a guy progressing from an injury. When they were developing their fitness, it was mainly runs. Putting the guy on a line, run, different kind of runs, different kind of fitness. And that was their like way of building like the fitness and the putting the and trying to bring the player that was injured to a level that was good enough for them then join it was able to join the normal training session. So what was my job here was to find, okay, how can we develop the fitness instead of just running on a line or running around the field? How can we get the same things, including the ball? This guy is a center mid. How can we include the tactical aspects of the center of a center mid and the technical aspects of the center mid with the ball? And at the same time, working the fitness and the conditioning and all the technical aspects and all the specific movements that then like make easier the transition from when this guy is ready, he's increased his fitness level, he's ready also to join the team, the team sessions at a higher level with less risk of having a injury or with like more efficiency and like be more efficient also like in that environment that it's soccer. And the same thing, like also including like the strength part and the work in the gym, always with the focus of what are the specific movements that this guy has to do on field. It's more accelerations, it's more deceleration, it's more change of directions, it's more jumping. Try to see all these things and try to help the guys or turn to play guys or even a healthy player, try to help them in a way that what it has inside transfer always or what it has to do outside on field.
So then what are you looking at to build these situations out? How are you, because I would assume, right, that communicating with this with the guys has to help with buy-in. Because we know soccer players sometimes have an allergy for the weight room. But when you're able to break these things down and break the situations down in practice or that are specific to not just their position, but tactically how they play as a player, some of the things that they do, I would assume that that helps buy-in in the other aspects. But how then do you... What is your mindset when you're looking at these things to A, break it down, and B, then build the progressions?
From this point of view, like one of the most important things is like, as you say, the players buy in, and like I try to start as more as I can, as much as I can with the showing to the players like video of what they do on field or what they were able to do on field or what they are required to do on field at a high level and try to make them understand, okay, there are ways that we can help you to increase your qualities and your and these kind of things with the work that we do in the gym or with the work that we do on field. And then when we go to the progression, it's always like trying to analyze where the player is in that moment and where the player stands, what are they, their deficits, where are they like problems, what are the issues, and where are they, and where is he strong, and try to understand, do we want to balance a little bit everything and try to make the guy like try to increase the his weaknesses and improve his weaknesses, or do we want to potentiate even more what are his strengths and like try to help him to excel in something very specific. That's the first step. And after we do the first, after we analyze the first step and make our final decision, one of the other things that we always do is like, okay, we want to develop these kind of things without changing the players completely. Because there are players, especially in every sports, but like in soccer, you can see them more. They're like, you see them like, they don't move well. They are not that's like the quality of their movements, it's not that high. But you see that the fact that they are like not that balanced, that sometimes these things make them special. So for example, situation like we have a lot of players like they're very good 1v1s and they are not the best movers. But if you try to correct that kind of players and make him like move like in a perfect way, he could lose something like that make him special in the 1v1 situation. So at which point do we want to change this? And this is another part that we always like we sit down and we try to analyze, okay, at which point we don't want to touch these aspects because we don't want to, we want, yes, help the players to be stronger and faster, but we don't want to make it in, we don't want to change something special that he has. And so this is another level of details that we try to look into. And sometimes it's just more like we decide, okay, we want to make him strong enough that he's healthy and that we know that he doesn't get injured, but we don't want to make it too much. We don't want to change too much his mechanics because that could change his way of playing. So those are like kind of things that we always look into. And then like we always start like from our point of view, like from the simple things, moving to the more complex things, trying to understand that there are players that even if they are professional athletes, they still don't know how to do the most simple things. And that's like, if you skip steps, you always like have the risk of like developing things in a wrong way. And this is like another problem like that sometimes happens so much. We like we skip steps and we want to do more because that fits our way of seeing the gym work or the work on field, but it should be the opposite. We shouldn't ask players to do what we want. We should do what players we see that players needs. So like sometimes it's tricky because we have an idea, oh, we want to do this exercise and we try to do that exercise with the player, but other times it's not what I want to see. It's not the exercise that I want, it's the exercise that I need. Sometimes we need to find it's the exercise that the player need, and we need to find this compromise, like, and we need to come down on a level, well, okay, probably my expectation from this player were the higher compared to what he really does, he really can do. So lower our expectation, meet the expectation of what he's able to do and what we wanted him to do, and always like finding like this this balance between what we want, what he really needs, and another things that we do like from different point of view to be sure that we are progressing well, that we are doing well. It's testing. And we use testing here like in several ways. We use testing to monitoring fatigue and be sure that the guy is healthy and ready to play, ready to train. And then we do testing that are more performance-based testing, and where we can see, okay, this guy is progressing well in the aspect that we wanted him to progress. And this is like the basic things that we do and things that we look when we develop like a plan for a player or for a group of players, and always looking at what are like the aspect that we want to work, and also how they transfer always to the tactical and technical side of soccer.
So when you're looking at all this information, how involved are the players in the decision-making process? Meaning, is it all objective feedback with whether it be groin bars, Nord boards, force plates, GPS, heart rate? Or is there some subjective where you go to a player and you say, what do you think?
That's an interesting question. And we started to try different way of figuring this issue, because we are very data based, and a lot of our decision are based on what we see through data, and that was one of my battle in the last couple of years, because sometimes I feel that this was too much, and we forget pretty very easily to that the player at the end of the day, it's a human being, and like we need to ask them how they feel. We need to ask them what they want, and also what make them feel better, like in terms of performance. And sometimes it happened a lot of times in the past that we were seeing measures of strength that were not enough in our opinion, and we were trying to work the things without even talking with the player, and the player like was very resistant to that, because I said, yeah, but like he was saying, his issue was, okay, but if I gain like 2-3 more pounds of muscle mass, I feel heavy on field. I don't want to do that because I don't want to feel heavy on field. And so finding like the understanding, okay, we need to include the player in the conversation. There are situations where like we include the player just to explain the why we do things, we do something, and we want to make him understand that something is important with them, and we want to do with them, with that thing. There are a situation where we want the player to have an opinion, and we will adapt at the end of the day the plan, the program, based on also on what are the players' feedback. And also one other thing that we are doing lately, especially now that we are investing a lot in young players and in the players from in our academy and in our second team and the crew too, like we are investing a lot in player development, and in both sides, like physical side and performance side, but also like the technical side and tactical side, we develop individual players for each academy player. And we want them to be part of this process, because sometimes, okay, we see a player that needs to work a specific thing, but the player don't want to do that. So like, how can we find like a balance between, okay, what do you want to work with? We will help you with what you want to work. And at the same time, we see that you can improve this part. So we work also this part. And so try to understand also what are their expectations, because sometimes if they have an idea that it's not realistic. So if we don't ask them, if we don't have the conversation with them, if we don't have those meetings with them, they can like wanting to do something that it's not realistic, or it's not even helpful for them based on their position, based on the like the tactical requirements that the coach have, or even based on their technical quality. So like we need to understand that if we know what they want, if we not, especially at a younger age when they dream to be like Messi, they dream to be like Cristiano Ronaldo, okay, you have all the ideas, you have these players as your model, but what does you really need to do that help you to be you and not the copy of another player that you will never be? And actually, you don't need to be successful. So like understanding what the player wants, understanding what is in the player's mind, like it's very important for us when we develop a plan, especially when they are young. But now like we are starting to do even more with professional players. And we realize that the more we talk with the players, even older players, 30 years old players, the more you realize that they still want to improve. Sometimes we think, okay, a 30 years old player, he wants just to keep work performing at the same level and maintain. And we talk about maintenance. And when then we talk with them and we realize, no, there are still things that they want to work. And if we don't ask them, we probably make decision on your own based just on the numbers. They are important. It's very important. They are very important for us. But sometimes that's not enough. It cannot be that just that.
Yeah. And I think that what is fun is when you get the young kids and you can teach them just the simple principles of training and you can show them how X may affect Y. And then as things start to progress and they understand things and they start to understand their game and your system and how the club works, they then turn around and say, hey, Frederico, what do you think about? And then you have the conversation about whatever that is.
Yeah. No, it's true because it's important. Like, as I told you, we try a lot, another level that we are trying to touch now and that we didn't do before. It's also like the video part. So these help us to show where a player is, why we want to work specific things, understanding why they want what they want to as a player and try to find the balance and then like check the progression and show them, you see, why the fact that we worked this helped you to do this. If we were not doing this in the gym, you were not able to do this. If we were not working this on field, you probably will have never done that. And that's important. Sometimes it's like, it happens a lot. We got lost on our day-to-day things. We have our daily routines and we don't check the progress of the plan that we made. Even if we check sometime, if we check them, sometimes we do it for ourselves, but it's important to share what we see with the players. And it's they're like player sees, like especially young kids, they like come to us and say, like, yeah, like the things that we were starting to work, you see, it's happening. That's true. I'm getting better than that. I needed this. And like this is important because like on a long term, like if you can build this culture on a 16-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid, a 17-year-old kid, you build this culture on him, it's halfway through, like to when they became pro, like it's easier for us. Our job becomes easier because we don't even have to force or sell something to them. They already know that what we tell them, it's what is the best for them. So like, it's important like to make them understand the importance of things, improve and like show them why those things are important and show them the progression of those things. Because like on long term, you know, I think about the structure of all the club, doing this as early as we can help us in 5, 4, 6, 5, 6, 7 years when we want players 15 years old now being first team players. And that's like, I think it's like something that sometimes we forget because we want results, short-term results. We want to win the game on Sunday or on Saturday, but yes, that's important, but we can never forget about the big picture and the long-term plan that we have.
Yeah. Because I think that, you know, in college, it's like, you know, a year, two, four, whatever it may be. But setting the foundation early, and especially like you said earlier, if you're able to display to them and communicate to them that you're trying to find a balance between what you want them to get done and what they need, and they then can realize that what you're basically telling them is, listen, we're just here to support. We're here to help you get better at the game. We're here to help you understand how your body can move physically to be more whatever the thing they need to work on is so that your performance increases, but we're not going to waste time. We're just going to do these things that are going to help. And then you're going to go away and go play. Like the amount of buy-in that you get from that. It's like, I've got a guy here, superstar freak show athlete. Like if you looked at the kid, you'd never guess it, but just bounce out of the gym, has been like a ESPN top 10 dunker, you know, unreal. Couldn't jump off two legs. I don't know why. Said he couldn't jump off two legs. Worked on some stuff for, you know, his red shirt year. He's like, I don't know what we did, but my 2 foot bounce is out of this world. So like, whatever you tell me, we're going to do it. And it's like, okay, like it doesn't need to be overly complicated. It just needs, it needs to be what we say we do. We identify a problem. We identify what we think is the best solution, our hypothesis. We perform the hypothesis. We retest it. And we either did great, yay, everybody claps, or we didn't and we suck. Like, that's it. You know? And these people understand that. And if you don't waste their time, they're going to, even people that don't like to lift weights and don't want to run and don't want to do the other things, they just want to play soccer or football, or they just want to hoop. Like, they're going to want to be around because you're helping.
Yeah.
And they know you're helping them.
Yeah. And like, it's, you make a great point, because this make me think about something that we are also like investing a lot. And you can resume everything with the one word also, like individualization. And sometimes I know that it's difficult, especially when you are in an environment with like 50 athletes at the same time, or like more than that, or 30, and you are just you by yourself. But we are lucky. I'm lucky here with my department at the club. We have an amazing structure, and we can't give up of like individualization. So like each player, we know what is their profile, what they need, what they want, and we need to give them like their specific things in the more individualized way, because what a player needs is not what that different player needs. So like these like not just help us to improve the player and to make a player better, but employer also help like the fact that the player understand that that's for him and just for him. And so like it's easier. And as you say, after something that we wanted to work, starting to work in the right way, they realize it. We show them. And then like, okay, now let's move to the next step. These cannot happen if we like try. Obviously, there are like basic things that everyone needs and every player needs. All the group needs like specific things that there are basic things that all of them need them. But if on top of this base, this foundation, we can always add individual things for each one of them. It doesn't have to be 300 things. It has to be one, two targeted thing that they know that they need, and that we know that they need, that will make them better. Building this on top of the general foundation, like, will give us more success, because player realize the importance of that. Player realize that that's for them, and that will make them better. And after you work that, you can move to something else. You work the second part, you move to the third part. And those are like the thing that, like the same thing that they like repeat the same thing over time. But in a long term plan, in a long term vision, those are the things that make an athlete successful, and also the club, and also all the organization successful.
100%, Frederico. 100%. I think what's great with that is understanding that you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that there are some things that everybody does need, and there are some things that everyone needs to do, and there are some things that are the building blocks for all general prep, for almost all sport. But if you give them a little, it'll get you a lot. And especially in groups that may not love to lift and may not love the physical prep side, that's huge, you know? Frederico, this has been a sensational 30 minutes, man. I can't thank you enough for spending the time with us. But before we get out of here, is there any of the socials or any way people can get in touch with you if they want to chat more with us?
I'm always available like on Instagram or on my name on Instagram. I think it's, I don't remember, but I think it's fede.pizzuto. So like fede.pizzuto. And my email, it's my initial. If somebody wants to have questions, I'm always open. It's F Pizzuto, my last name, Pizzuto, at columbuscrew.com. And that's the main things that I use. So, like, always here to help anyone that has questions.
Yeah, Fede Pizzuto is the Fede.Pizzuto is the Instagram. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, man. Stoked. Make sure everybody hops over and gives them a follow. Yep. And yeah, dude, listen, truly grateful for your time today, man. This is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, brother. Well, we'll be in touch real soon.
Yeah.
And as always, thank you for everything y'all do for us here at Central Virginia Sport Performance. We'll be back next week with another awesome guest. We will see you then.